Good. So my name is Darren. Welcome, everyone. Great to have all of you here. Good to have guests, as always. Welcome. We are looking at just a bit of the Christmas story here this morning, looking at Luke chapter 1. And we're picking up in a little bit of a short series. Oh, thank you. I'm going to try and do my own slides this morning. Yes, I can hold the mic, advance slides, preach, read your faces. It's going to be great. We've been looking at a short series just called Joy is Here, about the joy that we find because Christ has come to earth. And so we're going to continue in that. Let me pray for us as we get started. God, we thank you that you have come to us, that you are Emmanuel, God, with us, that you gave us this gift of Jesus and for the hope and joy that he brings. God, would you, as we come under your word, would you speak to our hearts and to our minds? God, would you change our lives as a result of the truth of your word and the truth of who Jesus is within us? So be with us now as we open the pages of your word and as your spirit speaks to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at this idea that joy is relational. There we are. Looking good. Thank you, Jackie. Keep laughing, please. That's what we're about here. So joy is relational, and it's the idea that that joy really is happiness when it's shared. Now, these people are a little bit too happy. I'm sure this is what Simon will look like Christmas Day when he comes to lead us with all of our instruments. And I think what's been really fun about this is, as we've looked at this idea that joy is happiness shared with one another, that it's kind of sparked some really good conversations. So the week after I shared that a couple of weeks back, talking about Exodus 40, in the dark of 7 a.m. prayer on Friday, Peter Dixon came in, and he said, you know, I cycled in, and I had this on my mind. It's from Psalm 122. I rejoiced when those who said to me said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, I had that on my mind. See, that's joy. Let's go to the house of the Lord, and let's go together. Cycled in, we kind of prayed through it that morning. And the whole idea here of the idea of looking at this joy at Christmas, because we sing about it a lot, don't we? It's in all the songs, is the idea that Jesus came, and that last week we looked at the fact that his coming was good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. And it's great joy because Christmas is when we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. We just sang that song. And so it's stirred up all these great conversations, and we're looking at it, we're exploring it. So I have a question, just as we get started, just as we kind of get into the text, for you today, right now, as I ask you, what brings you joy? You don't have to shout it out, because you might not want to. It may not be a public thing, maybe a private thing, a personal thing, but what is it that brings you joy? Yes, singing. Yes, this is it. And we've got singing in Luke 1, which is just amazing. You're going to see that. Well, here today, we're going to look at the story of John the Baptist, his birth. And actually, in the midst of that, we see what John the Baptist would say gives him joy. And he says it's when he's near to the presence of his cousin Jesus. And it's when he hears the voice of Jesus. That's what John has to say. So let's look at it. And I want to look at John's story here in three different scenes. And the first is really Elizabeth's joy, but it's joy that's happiness shared. And so we're going to look at how it unfolds. It's in scene one. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. If you open the Bibles that are there behind you, it's on page 969. And this is me advancing the slide to tell you that. We're going to get Mary visiting Elizabeth. That's what we're looking at here this morning. And to give you a little bit of background, they're relatives. So Elizabeth is Mary's relative, maybe cousin. And you get sort of this beautiful, it's almost like one of those airport reunions, you know? Like those you see those moments. I love to people watch, and I spend time in airports. And I love seeing the scenes of people in the arrivals gate as people see each other for the first time after a long period of time away. You enjoy that? I mean, if you are down and you want joy, go sit in a train station or airport and see people reunited. Because that is joy when they're happy to be together again after a long period of time. This is the scene that we're going to get where we see Elizabeth and Mary. Okay, so let's read it together. It's verse 39. At the time, Mary got ready and she hurried into town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now watch what happens when the Holy Spirit is at work in Elizabeth. In a loud voice, she exclaims, she turns up the volume a little bit, and she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." That's her response of joy. Now, what's happening here? If you just kind of look at it, because it's included in here for a reason. I mean, we could just sort of fast forward to Jesus and the angels and the shepherds and the whole thing, but we get this story as a picture of joy. Look at how joy shows up in this interaction. First of all, it is active. A baby jumps. Verse 41, the result is that the Holy Spirit is at work. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? When the fruit of the Spirit is at work in someone's life, you get love and joy and peace and patience. You get kindness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. So when the Holy Spirit shows up in verse 41, Mary shows joy. Sorry, Elizabeth and Mary together show joy. Verse 42, it's loud. I mean, joy is expressed and is loud. That's what's happening here in this. And others are blessed. You see that in verse 42? Look at what all Elizabeth blesses. She does it out loud. She does it verbally. She blesses Mary. She blesses her baby. And she blesses her faith. And when joy occurs, faith is built up. Faith is encouraged. Look at verse 42. Blessed is she who's believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. He encourages her faith. He says, Elizabeth says, I bless you. I bless your faith that you believed God's promises. So what happens when you see joy occur? In this kind of scenario, you see that faith is built up, that it's shared, that there's a retelling even of the story. You see Elizabeth going out of her way in verse 44 to say, as soon as the sound of you coming through the door reached my ears, this baby jumped for joy, leaped for joy. She tells the story and she shares it with her. Now, there's a lot more going on in this story than just a baby jumping, isn't there? There's so much going on. It's loud. It's active. She's retelling the story. She's blessing. It's beautiful. Now, there's a whole lot here. Now, I had an experience of this just recently. First, I need to introduce you to a new member of the Prince family here. You know what happens next. Okay, so just a couple of days ago, it's hard to see these here today, but slightly bright. I took Lucia with me to go get a puppy. That's right, a puppy for Christmas. We thought about it. We researched it for a long time. We looked at it, you know. But we did go, and we were just going to look. That promise where you take your kid to go look at puppies, and then we ended up bringing the puppy home on the bus. And I got to tell you, Lucia was just so full of joy the whole time we were looking at them. All the way home on the D7 bus, the whole bus was sort of a part of this whole experience. I thought Lucia was going to float away because we had this little puppy and it was so cute and so cuddly. And Lucy was just smiling from ear to ear. This was joy on her face. And it was loud, just like Elizabeth. It was joyful. It was expressed. It was shared with others. I think the D7 bus was like, what is happening downstairs? It was a beautiful encounter. Why would Luke give us this little window into the story of Jesus? Why this? What difference does it make to the story? Why not just jump to the angels and the shepherds and everything else? I mean, it's cute. Baby's kicking. That's always good joy, isn't it? But why leave it in the story? I think it's because it points to how significant Jesus is and what happens in people when Jesus shows up. See, John describes his joy later on in life. He describes his joy. In fact, let's look at it together. So I want to take us, if you just fast forward to page 1007. So it's in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 20 to 33. John the Baptist is a grown-up. He's in his ministry. He's now baptizing people. He's pointing the way to Jesus, and he explains his joy. This is in John chapter 3, verse 20 to 33. He explains it. Now, no doubt, John, who was a baby at the time, still in his mother's womb, but did some jumping when he got near Jesus, had been told that story over and over again. You know, Mary and Elizabeth would get together and they'd retell the story of the time that the baby jumped when Mary came close. And so he's got that in the back of his mind, no doubt. he grew up listening to that story. And then look at this as we look at verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them. And Jesus is baptizing people. And across the way, John was baptizing people because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. So this is verse 24, before John was put in prison. This is a little bit of background and context here. And an argument came up between them between John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. And they came to John and they said, Rabbi, teacher, that man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him. You know, Jesus, we're worried this guy's getting a bigger crowd than you. We're worried that he's got a bigger following. And John replies this, verse 27. He says, a person can receive only what is given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. So you guys already know, I'm just the messenger here. I've already told you this. We've had this conversation. And then he goes into just an example, an image, just a metaphor. He says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. If this was a wedding, then I would just be the friend, he says. The friend who attends the bridegroom, waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, John says, and is now complete. He must become greater and I must become less. Do you see that? In the big picture of things, Jesus is like the groom at the wedding. This is what John's trying to explain. He's like the groom at the wedding, and man, I'm just the friend. You know, at best, maybe the usher. I'm pointing the way to Jesus, and notice the detail he uses, the sound of the groom's voice. Just like his mom Elizabeth, who heard Mary's voice at the door and said, as soon as the sound of Mary's greeting reached my ears, you leaped for joy. He says, that is joy. I'm full of joy when I hear the bridegroom's voice. And he says, you know what gives me joy? Making a big deal about Jesus. That's what gives me joy, making a big deal about Jesus. Not just partial joy. Look at verse 29 there in chapter 3 of John. Not just partial joy, but full joy. And complete joy. That joy is mine and it's now complete. At first I just heard his voice, John says, but now he's here. Now joy is here. You can hear it in his voice as he says it to his disciples. You guys, Jesus is here. My joy is complete. And look at John's humility as well. It's exactly like his mom's, because his mom ends up saying, who am I? Why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? But here he says, he must become greater and I must become less. John says, I get joy by making a big deal of Jesus. That's what makes my joy complete. And so all of that leads me to one of the key lessons in all of this. And so I want to encourage you to listen closely, because I think if we get this out of order or get it wrong, it could be not just not helpful, but maybe even dangerous. Okay? We need to seek Jesus to get joy. Don't seek joy for joy's sake. Seek Jesus. Let me say it another way. If you seek joy without Jesus, you may never find it. You'll have moments of comfort. You'll have fleeting moments of entertainment, glimpses of it here and there in momentary pleasures or gladness, but not the fullness of joy that John's talking about. Not complete joy, like jumping, joyful John the Baptist has that we read about here in Luke and in John. So if you seek joy, you may never find it. But if you seek Jesus, his full and complete and eternal joy will be yours. That's the story here. That's the promise. And it's joy that's available now. And it's also joy that's on hold for you as an eternal inheritance in the future. And I really want us to get that, because it could be easy to get it reversed and to get it wrong. And you might be sitting there thinking, wait, you don't know what my 2019 has been like. I mean, I'm all in on this joy stuff, but you don't know what this year has been like. And you can say, what does that mean in reality? Like for me in my life, when I'm going through hard stuff, what does that actually mean? Does that mean joy means I'll always have a smile on my face? So you could be asking, You know, what does it mean for us to face trials and suffering and be joyful? And James, later in a letter in the New Testament, actually says this very thing. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So how can trials and suffering be considered pure joy? How can that be? Well, I think if we look in the direction that jumping, joyful John the Baptist is pointing when he points down the river to Jesus, if we look in that direction, we see that joy is found in nearness to Christ. That even in our suffering, it's an opportunity to be near to him, to identify with Jesus in his sufferings. That's why the writer says you can consider it pure joy, because it's an opportunity again, even as you go through trial and suffering, to be near to Christ, to draw near to him, to bank on that eternal inheritance that you have waiting for you in heaven. That's what allows us to find comfort in him, to have peace of mind that rules in our hearts, to have his joy be our strength. And so that's part one. Seek Jesus, but as you seek Jesus, you find joy. Joy for today and joy everlasting. And then the next one is show Jesus. As you show Jesus, show joy. What does it mean to show our joy? We can see what it looks like for Elizabeth. She gets louder. She bursts into song. She's blessing. She describes to Mary what it's like having John inside of her. And you guys know, you can see it, like we talked about with the airport thing. You can see it on people's faces when people are with people that they enjoy being with. You can see joy on their faces. I can even see joy on people's faces when they're texting someone that they enjoy texting to. Do you ever see that? When someone's like just grinning and typing a text to someone that they enjoy being with. I can see it with Pam. Pam's got a friend in the States. I can tell that she's texting that friend when she's texting that person because it's just on her face. So joy is about being happy to be together, happy to be with. So does joy in Jesus always mean having a smile on our faces? No, not necessarily. That's not what we see in Scripture. But let me say this. It should make a noticeable difference in our lives. That's what it means to actually show the joy of Jesus. It should be the evident joy of Jesus that's on display when we're with people who don't know him. It should be the hallmark of how we endure suffering and hardship as his followers, as people who consider it joy. It should be evidence in how we worship and pray together, like children that are just delight to be in the presence of God the Father, who loves us and who listens to us. Think of that for just a moment, the creator of the universe being happy to be with us. Joy should be the fuel of our ministry activities and our relationships in the church. I think Luke gives us these glimpses of Elizabeth and Mary's joy because A, Jesus is a big deal, and B, when Jesus is with us, it should be noticeable. And so, seek Jesus and show Jesus. And the third part here is share Jesus with others. And as you share Jesus with others, you share joy. You watch joy spread. You know it's true. You know it's true because when you've done it, when you've tried it, even if it's been a little bit awkward or clunky, you see joy shared. We can see it in the Mary and Elizabeth moment, and we can see it here with John the Baptist. You can almost imagine the grin on his face as he tells his followers, look, this is who Jesus is. I'm just the little guy. He is a big deal. Now, I've got a little bit of experiment for us, and I want to share this with you just to say that even in just the last three weeks, we have seen, and Ryan has celebrated with us around the building and in men's WhatsApp group, three different guys coming to faith through the work of TTR here, right here in the mission. Amen? Are we joyful about that? I'm looking out here. I'm seeing smiles. I'm seeing heads nod. Should we be jumping up and down? Where's Casper with his confetti cannons? Right? Now look at the smile on Ryan's face right now. See, I wanted to do this. Here he is. See, you can't even not smile right now, because that's the joy of sharing Jesus. It's good news, isn't it? I mean, we are partying. When Ryan tells us the names of these guys and we pray for them, man, you cannot stop smiling. That's the joy of sharing Christ. Let's get back to the next scene. This is really scene three. Page 969, back in Luke, where we were. So we've seen Elizabeth showing up, Mary showing up with Elizabeth. Let's go back to Elizabeth and her baby now. And we're going to save the birth of Jesus for Christmas Day coming up in a few days. And today we'll just look at the birth of John the Baptist. Let's call him Joyful John. So I'm picking up now with a story. We're going to skip Mary's song, picking up in verse 56. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. And verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. There it is, that word again. Now, the birth of a baby is always, or often, let's say, a joyful occasion. But again, don't just pass up the details here, because Luke includes them for a reason. Elizabeth's friends and family get to share in her joy. Why does Luke emphasize this so much? Why point it out? Seriously, why talk about babies leaping for joy and angels singing for joy in Luke 2 and the arrival of Jesus being good news of great joy? Why? Why do all of our Christmas songs have it over and over again? I mean, there's some that literally the lyrics are joy, joy, joy. Well, maybe, just maybe, because it's true. Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence is the fullness of joy." And the Bible tells us that we know, and we know it, we know it's true because of the ache in our own hearts that we were separated from the source of all joy, the presence of God, because of our sin. And that separation was the source of our deepest sadness. It was the death of us, that separation. But then God breaks into the story, our story, and he invades our sin-infected world with the light of his son Jesus. So one of our Christmas carols, O Holy Night, puts it like this: long lay the world in sin and error, pining. What's pining? That means longing with a broken heart. We are longing with a broken heart till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. That's the thrill of hope as the weary world rejoices. Hebrews chapter 12 says it like this: "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He scorned its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus knew where joy eternal resided, right there at the right hand of the living God. He had joy in his mind as he endured the cross for our sake to banish the separation between us. So now consider him, Hebrews writer says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Remember Jesus, who considered joy. He set it before him as he endured the cross. That's the good news, that Jesus came to reunite us in joyful relationship with the Father, even though we were separated by sin. How did he do it? He endured the cross. And so even before Jesus was born, we have Elizabeth's joy and Mary's joy and John the unborn baby's joy and their neighbors and relatives' joy. And now let's look at Zechariah, the last part of this chapter, John the Baptist's father. Let's look at his joy, okay? So he has received news earlier in the chapter. This is in verses 62 to 66. There's a little bit of context. He's not been able to speak during his wife's pregnancy as he had to grow in faith and acceptance of what God had in store for their family. And so here's what happens next. Verse 62, they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." And immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. This is the activity of joy now, as Zechariah is able to speak. He has a loose tongue, and he is able to speak out, praising God. And what happens next? The neighbors, they're all filled with awe. I mean, these neighbors must be exhausted. The baby's born. They're sharing the joy. Zechariah can speak. He's praising. They're sharing the joy. These neighbors are not just innocent bystanders. They're caught up in the action. Verse 65, they're filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all of these things. Hey, do you hear what's going on? God is up to something. Verse 66, everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" And they're just talking about John. He's just the little guy. Jesus is the big deal. But even there it says, "For the Lord's hand was with him." There it is again, joy being with. The Lord's hand was with him. Zechariah erupts with joyful praise, and he shares it, and people talk about it with one another. They share the joy of the Lord with others. As the neighbors were filled with awe, people are talking about it all over the country, and they question, who is this kid, and what is God up to? And it says the Lord's hand was with him. And it's this little baby, John, who grows up to say, you think I'm a big deal, check out Jesus. I'm just the messenger, but Jesus is the real deal. So friends, I want to encourage us to seek Jesus and see that deposit of joy that happens eternally grow within us, to show Jesus to others. And as we show Jesus and share Jesus with others, we can see that the joy is shared, that it's grown between us. Our joy is complete when we share Jesus with others on mission together. That's what we're all about here at the Good Shepherd Mission. And I'll just say for me, as I reflect back over 2019 for myself, I mean, this in many ways has been one of the best years ever for me personally. Just in my life, lots of good stuff going on, lots of great stuff. But I'll tell you what, it has also been a battle for joy. It's been a battle for joy in my marriage and with our parenting and in work and in ministry. I mean, we've had days here where the building was flooded and the power was out and the internet was down and we're just looking at each other like, we gotta fight for joy. But I think there's something to this for us as the Good Shepherd Mission. There's something to this that will animate us to share the good news of great joy with those around us here in Bethnal Green and at Tower Hamlets and Hackney and in cities like London and beyond. That's what we see Elizabeth do. It's what we see Mary do and Zechariah and their neighbors as they question and wonder and seek after this Jesus that is so full of good news of great joy. So I want to just give us really practically for those of us who've just been wrestling with this and curious about it and saying, okay, what next? What do I do? Just five ways as you consider 2020 to grow your joy. It's really five ways to seek after Jesus. So please don't get me wrong. This is not about seeking after the emotion. It's go after Jesus. Here's how you grow your joy. Here's how you jumpstart your joy in the new year. Five ways. I think I got going here and probably didn't show you these amazing slides. Zechariah with his baby. Zechariah telling his neighbors. See, this is why I need you, Mike. You got to advance these slides. First of all, how do we grow our joy? Let's praise God. And that means, in many ways, taking every sorrow and every joy back to God, even the hard stuff. Taking it back to praising God. And I think there's some of us that maybe, you know, I just don't feel like putting on the worship music. Or maybe coming in and worshiping because I'm just not feeling it. And the reality is, let me flip that around and say, try worshiping until you feel it. And it's not about the feeling. Again, try worshiping to remember praising God. You see it all through Luke 1, Luke 2. Praising God reminds you of his goodness and his faithfulness in your life. Praise God. Try it as a practice. The next one, bless others. You see Elizabeth do it in chapter 1. And if you've ever thought, you know, I don't see blessing in Scripture. I don't see where we do this for one another. Here's Elizabeth's blessing Mary, her baby, and her faith. She blesses all of those. And you know what's beautiful about blessing? It's others focused. You're not quite as miserable with yourself because you're looking at others and you're saying, God, bless what I see in this other person. So here's a great one that God gives to the people of Israel. This is from Numbers chapter 6. And it's such a great one, but I want you to hear where relational joy is all over this. Okay, it says this. This is how you're to bless the Israelites, the Lord says to Moses. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now that's the joy of being with, isn't it? Let the Lord's face shine upon you. And let the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's a blessing from Numbers chapter 6. Next one, express your gratitude. Speak it out. You see this all through chapters 1 and 2. Express your gratitude. recall what you've received in humility. I mean, that's the humility piece. Elizabeth says, who am I? The mother of my Lord would come and visit me. But say, just speak out your gratitude. Speak it out to the Lord. Speak it out to one another. Just what are you thankful for? Just such a great discipline that grows joy, I think. And then next one, remember God's promises. Remember and believe God's promises in Scripture. So many great examples of doing this all through the week with one another as we grow joy, as we share it with one another. Go back to Scripture. Find God's promises. Remember them. Share them with one another. The men in the WhatsApp group, if you're not in it, guys, get on this WhatsApp group. Such an encouragement as we share Scriptures and promises and God's blessing and encouragement to one another. And then the last one, there's probably more, but these are just a few kind of jump starters for 2020 on your joy. And that's just enjoy the company of others. Now, we have the saying that misery loves company, doesn't it? But don't you actually find that when you're miserable, you'd really rather just be alone? I think misery isolates. It's actually joy that's happiness shared that brings us together in God's good company with his people and reminds you, oh yeah, this is what it's like to be with God's people. This is what it's like to be in the presence of God. Misery loves isolation, I think, but joy loves company, and joy is happiness shared. I think all of these things are things that we can do when we gather together, big groups or small groups. I think these are the kinds of things we invite people to who don't know Jesus but could know more about Jesus as we bring them into settings like that. It's what we'll practice when we do our praise and prayer night tonight. Come back for that if you want to just get a kickstart into the new year for this. My brothers and sisters, this is our message. Joy is here. Jesus is with us. And that means his eternal, full, and complete joy is on offer. So my question is, what will you choose today? What will you choose tomorrow? What will you choose in all of 2020? So let me pray for us and for our joy. Father, you are at work here. You were already at work when we came in the building, and you'll continue to be at work. And you've been at work in our lives, and some of this stuff this year has been really difficult. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the gift of Christ where we don't have to paint a smile on our faces and be false. You have given us a true and lasting eternal joy that is for today and is for the future. God, would you make us a people? I pray for us, my brothers and sisters here in this room, myself. Would you make us a people that are marked by noticeable joy, that wins people to your kingdom, that grows your church, that extends your mission to the nations for your name's sake, for your glory to be put on display. In Jesus' name, amen.